The reading this morning is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and this can be found on page 1045 of the Church Bibles. And I commence to read from verse 32. And in doing so, Jesus is saying to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So Marilyn's going to preach. So would you like to just stretch out a hand and we'll pray for her. So Father God, we thank you for Marilyn and for her love for you. We thank you for the diligence with which she will have searched your scriptures, and we pray now your blessing on her, but also that we will have hearts that will be ready to hear and to do your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just move down a bit. I feel too tall up there. I don't often feel too tall, no. Okay. Good morning, everyone. So this scripture that's just been read is talking about Jesus coming back to earth at an unexpected hour. Am I sounding right? Yeah. Jesus is comparing his followers here to servants in a master's household, and these servants are always prepared for the master's return. It is about the second coming of Jesus. He is advising us to be ready when he returns. He's telling us that that will be at a time when we don't expect him. We won't expect the hour. This scripture also tells us that where our treasure is, our hearts will be also. So I'm going to look at those two things today. I'm going to start with living lives that are ready for the Master's return. Jesus ascended to heaven and left his church and his authority with his servants. And to every person, he has given gifts and talents, and he has given us the Holy Spirit so that we can fulfill the work that he has called us to do. And then he asks us to keep watch. Verse 37 of Luke 12, which has just been read, says, "It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes." These servants are being watchful for their master. So what does a life that is watchful for Jesus look like? The scripture tells us that when Jesus arrives, we will not expect him. So he could arrive today, or he could arrive on Tuesday or Friday week, or in a month, or 10,000 years. But 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise." So we may not know the hour that he returns, but what we do know is that when he arrives, there will be no mistaking that he is back. So how can we live a life that is watchful and ready to open the door to him immediately as he knocks? How can we live a life that will gladly open the door and see him face to face? If you think of someone calling unexpectedly at your house, sometimes we can rush around, can't we, stuffing things in cupboards and hiding the dishes. Well, maybe not everyone does this, but plumping up cushions and all of those sort of things because you're not quite ready for a visitor. And that's life, and that's fine. But this scripture is not talking about the state of our homes. This scripture is talking about us. It's talking about the state of our hearts. And if Jesus were to come back today and knock at the door, are our lives in order? Are our hearts ready? Or do we need to do some business in our hearts? Are we hiding stuff in cupboards so that no one else sees? Knowing that we are imperfect human beings, how can we possibly be ready for the Son of God to return? The only way that we can be ready and live a life like that is to keep short accounts with God. And what I mean by that is living a life in close communion with Jesus, not letting things get out of hand, not letting things slide, dealing with things when they happen. Our prayers, our Bible reading, our worship, our peacemaking, and our relationships. And that takes a lifetime of practice. It doesn't happen overnight. And we can very easily and slowly come out of communion with Jesus, missing reading the Bible for a day or two, and then a month goes by, and then we feel guilty because we haven't read it. We can dwell on a sinful thought for longer than we should, a day or two, and then we can rationalize it and think, well, everyone has thoughts. Mine aren't probably as bad as everyone else's. We can tell a lie or exaggerate the truth, and before we know it, we are believing the lie and we are believing the exaggeration. We can go a day or two without praying, and before we know it, it very easily feels like Jesus is a distant friend that we call upon when we're desperate. So how can we live watchful lives and keep short accounts with God? I think we can start by looking at the sin in our lives. Not an easy one, but we all sin. Probably most days, if not every day. And if sin isn't dealt with quickly, it can fester and grow, or we just become numb to it. So to live a watchful life that is ready for the Master's return, we need to deal with sin quickly. To deal with sin, we need to recognize it. We need to confess it. We need to say sorry. And we need to forgive others, forgive ourselves, and receive forgiveness from God. And then we move on with Jesus, a fresh start. So I just want to look at those things for a few minutes. So sin is something that we all do. Sometimes we're completely aware of it. Sometimes we are totally unaware that we've sinned. Sometimes we can be completely aware of it, but we gloss over it and completely disregard it. And we can become quite good at this, especially if we're doing something that is pleasing to us, and we can block out the voice of the precious Holy Spirit because we don't want to hear it. The closer we get to Jesus, the closer we get to him, the more we feel pained when we sin. So we need to recognize the sin for what it is and confess it to Jesus. We need to admit what we have said or done or thought as soon as we've done it or said it or thought it. We mustn't try and trivialize it or make out that we are not responsible. We may be able to fool ourselves, but we cannot fool God. And in our hearts, we still know. And the more we ignore sin, the further away Jesus feels. Now, I don't particularly like dwelling on sin because this is lovely church and lovely people. But when I prepared this, I really felt the cross was too agonizing to be unnecessary, and the Son was far too precious to the Father to be needlessly put through so much pain. So when we sin, we need to say sorry to Jesus. We need to say sorry to the person that we've hurt. And we need to say sorry if we've behaved badly. And saying sorry, that's not easy sometimes. But a genuine apology can move mountains. A desert place can spring forth with flowers when someone is genuinely sorry. To live a watchful life, we need to forgive. And we need to forgive quickly. Forgive the person, forgive yourself, and receive God's forgiveness. And they say, don't they, forgiveness is a great idea until you have to do it, because it is not easy. I think everyone who's had to forgive will know that. It is not easy to do. But unforgiveness, it builds walls around us. It keeps people out sometimes, and it keeps Jesus out too. Unforgiveness makes us a judge over another human being. Unforgiveness means, I know better than you, Lord, even though you created this person and you know this person's life from beginning to end, I know best. I know best what they deserve. To live a watchful life with Jesus means if someone hurts you, offends you, winds you up, or you get that feeling in your stomach when you think of them, or when you start talking about something that they've done, you just can't stop. In living a watchful life that is ready for the return of the Master means we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it. We have to face it. We forgive. With the help of God, we forgive. And if necessary, we may need to go to that person. But we let it go. We put it into the hands of the one who knows. We release our grip on this situation. We forgive and we release that person to God. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard. It doesn't mean that what they've done is okay. But it does mean that you've let go of it. It is no longer something that we need to dwell on because it is gone. Hebrews 4 verse 13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. We are accountable to the Master. When we ask forgiveness, he is so gracious to us. The slate is wiped clean and we walk on with Jesus, a fresh start. He loves us. He loves his church. He wants no division among us. He is full of grace towards us. And when we live a life in communion with Jesus, we don't have this build-up of sin where we can't remember what we've said sorry for and what we haven't. We don't feel when we pray that we don't know where to start because we can't remember the last time we prayed, and it's become a tangle. You may think keeping short accounts with Jesus means we'll be saying sorry and repenting all day. Yeah, we probably will be. We probably will be to start with. But it will improve because the closer you get to Jesus, the more we become aware of his presence and the more aware we are of the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Because we are listening for him. Don't leave things. Talk to him. We won't feel distant from him if we stay close to him. And in staying close, we are eagerly listening for the Master's footsteps at the door, the return of the Master. And having said all of that, I just want to say, if you feel you haven't prayed in a long time, or you haven't picked up your Bible, let alone read it for a long time, or if you feel that you haven't asked for forgiveness since forever, well, Jesus calls you particularly today. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus calls you today, and it takes a moment to come back, and it may feel like he is a million miles away, but when we reach our hand out to him, he covers that million miles in not even a second. We can come to him, and even if it's the first time, we can come to him in a moment, and he will meet with you. It is done. The slate is wiped clean. It is finished. Another important thing to do in living a watchful life is to say thank you. Thank him for all he has done and all he will do. There's a saying, isn't there? What would you have today if you only had what you thanked God for yesterday? Scary. Be watchful. Thank God for all you see him doing, and thank God for all that he is doing that you don't see. Be thankful for all that he has given us. Let us be thankful for his love and his faithfulness and his grace and his care and his kindness and gentleness. Let us be so very thankful for the cross. Thankful that he sent his Holy Spirit. Thankful that he is coming back at an unexpected hour. That he ascended to heaven. He left his spirit so that we could do the work that he left us to do. Be thankful that the hour is unexpected. Because if we knew when that hour was, we would surely do well in that hour. Be thankful that he knows us well enough to know that we did not need to know when the hour would be. Because then we would live a life that is devoted to him. A life that lives out of love and devotion, not to impress him on the last day. Another important thing to do in living a watchful life is to be alert to the schemes of the devil. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Don't let that be you. Be watchful. Don't let him be your focus, but be watchful. The devil would love to divert you from the plans God has for your life. If we stay close to Jesus, we will be alert to the schemes of the devil. The devil does not want us to live a life in close communion with Jesus, and he will do all that he can to distract us. And that could be anything. It would be different things for all of us. It may be that he points out the faults in others so that we become so focused on that we are sidetracked. It may be that he distracts us with fears of what the future may hold so that we no longer have our focus on the one who holds the future in his hands. It may be that in the tests and trials of life, the devil will say, "Where is your God now?" If he was with you and he loved you, surely this would not be happening. Stay focused. Stay focused on God. He is the God of the Bible, and his promises are yes and amen. He can be trusted. Does Jesus expect to come back and find our hearts and lives in a state of perfection? No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He simply asks that we live faithful, devoted lives. And he knows that even in that, as human beings, we will slip up and we will fall down. Does that mean he loves us any less? No, absolutely not. He loves us. Verse 34 of Luke 12 says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So what do we really treasure? And I mean really treasure. Let's be careful where our focus is. Because what we as believers treasure will be what we spend most of our time doing. And the things we spend our time thinking about, talking about, and doing will be where our treasure is. And that will be what we will most probably be doing if Jesus were to return today, which he could, because none of us are expecting him at this hour, are we? If we want to live watchful lives, if we want to be devoted, faithful followers of Jesus, it needs to be that he is the treasure that we seek. It needs to be him. The Word who became flesh. The one who spoke life over all creation. The one who breathed life into the lungs of Adam. The one who is the giver of life. He is the Lord and there is no other, and he is the treasure that we need to seek. He left the treasures of heaven so that he could come here and be treasured by us. The Bible and prayer, a dynamic duo in my opinion. They are a treasure to behold, our means of communicating with the beloved. Do we treasure them? Or do we treasure things? Do we treasure our reputation? Do we treasure being right? Do we treasure our own wisdom? Do we treasure our own possessions? Where our treasure is, our heart will be also. So I think we all need to be honest with ourselves, deeply honest, because we are God's people. Do we treasure the will of God? Or do we think of the things that we want and decide that is the will of God for our lives? Psalm 86, verse 11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." Having an undivided heart, that sorts out where the treasure is. An undivided heart prepares us for a life of watchfulness. Having an undivided heart is a call to holiness for God's people. It means living a life of obedience. It does not mean having a foot in both camps. It means allowing the Holy Spirit to filter through our thoughts and our words and our deeds. And that is not always easy. It means making sure that our hearts are for the will of God and not divided. For us to live a watchful life with an undivided heart, we need to narrow down that division in the nitty-gritty things of life. And in living a watchful life, we become closer to him. We become more like him. We love more. We care more. We are selfless. He is our focus. He is our treasure. He is the one we are watchful for. When we live a holy life, we draw strength from the only one who can give it. We rely on him. We are watchful for the new signs of life that he is bringing in the lives of others. We are watchful about the things we say, the things we do, and the things that we think. We will be watchful because the Master is coming back, and we want to be ready. He cares what we think, he cares what we say, and he cares what we do because he loves us, but because we are his church. We are his representatives on earth, and the way that we behave matters. Verse 35 of Luke 12 says, "Keep your lamps burning." Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." The word of God is a lamp to our feet. Keep your lamps burning. How much do we treasure the treasure that is in the Bible? It is literally a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Do we not need to see where we are going on this journey of life? Do we not need to hold so tightly to our lamps in order to see signs of the return of the Master? Keep your lamps burning. Delve into the Word of God because it has power to transform your life. It can set your heart on fire with a love for Jesus that no one and nothing can put out. In this journey of life, be watchful because Jesus, he is at work. He performs miracles every day. He heals, he speaks, he listens, he loves, he cares, he breathes life, he sustains the earth, he loves our soul, he is the treasure, he is the treasure. Be watchful, do not miss what he is doing. Listen for his voice, listen for the footsteps of the Master at the door, listen for his knock because he will surely come. The fact that he is coming back is certain. He is coming back for his bride, the church, the people of God. He is coming back for his beloved, to claim those that he has redeemed. He will not let us down. He is faithful even when we are not. Stay close to him. As people of God and as the church, stay close to him. He is the treasure to be found. He's the treasure in the word of God. He's the treasure in a redeemed life. If you see someone who's just given their life to Jesus, you see his treasure. He is the treasure that is found in all good things on planet Earth. Where our treasure is, our hearts will be also. Be watchful. Live lives of readiness. Let us be the church that God has called us to be. If we have any differences, let's cast them aside and focus our gaze on the Messiah, on the Son of God, the beloved of heaven, because he is coming back. And I just want to end by reading Matthew 25, verse 6, which says, "At midnight, a cry rang out, 'He is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.'" I'll just pray. Oh Lord, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you that you are the master. And I pray, Lord God, help us individually and as a church to live watchful lives, to keep short accounts with you, to listen for your Holy Spirit, to listen for your footsteps at the door, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here and that you empower us to do just that, to live lives worthy of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Can you just wait here a minute? Yeah. I just want to say something. Yeah. I feel bad. Come up here because I feel bad.
As Marilyn was speaking, these words came to me. "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him or her." And I really feel we have had streams of living water pouring out of your mouth this morning. And I just want to say, if you just feel stirred by what Marilyn has said, stand. Let's stand and say we want to be watchful. We want to be ready, Lord. Just, it's an opportunity for you to respond. And those of you who can't stand, we understand if you want to, but you can't. Praise God. So we're just going to pray together for each other. So Lord, we thank you that we know that we have been bathing in streams of living water this morning. We thank you that that living water means that we flourish if we drink it, because you want us to flourish and to be the people that you have created us to be. So Lord God, first of all, we give you thanks for Marilyn, for what she has said. But Lord, we also now offer you ourselves. And we pray that we will be ready and watchful servants. We pray that our hearts will be undivided. We pray that we will keep short accounts with you, Lord. We pray for the unity and the flourishing of this church. We pray for your love to fill our hearts, for our brothers and sisters, and for all who are lost and all that you bring us into contact with. We pray that we will lead lives that are ready and watchful, so that we do not feel caught out if you come back, but we are ready to bow down before you and worship you as King and Lord and Prince of Peace. So we offer you ourselves now, and we thank you for words that have spoken life to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.